I've been in the egg industry my whole life and have worked around lentils, which is a short crop. And cutter bar losses are usually fairly high in those types of crops. And we used to use belting and all sorts of stuff to help clear the cutter bar. You know, it worked, but not that great. And then when I started farming on my own and growing lentils and seeing those losses again, you know, I wanted to create something that we could physically go right over the existing tine and remove, because I wasn't sure if it would work in other crops that we were growing on our farm. So I wanted to make sure it was easy to take on and off. And it just kind of started with the idea and then building it and getting the manufacturing for it.
So you did the testing yourself and then got a patent, or how did that work?
It started out with the idea of me showing my frustration in the cab, and Chris is saying, you know, well, let's do something about it. And so we got a, you know, I just started making it with a piece of plastic pipe, a PVC pipe, and just to get the clip portion right, how I wanted it to clip onto the reel. And then found an engineer to make the CAD drawings for me. We had it 3D printed until we got it exactly the way we wanted it, and then found a company to do the injection molding and build our molds for it.
You really came on the spotlight in 2018 at the Farm Progress Show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we were part of the Innovation Pavilion at Canada's Farm Show in 2018, and we won a Sterling Innovation Award there. So that was our first real launch into, you know, the market with Duckfoot. And just, you know, we wanted to see what the response was. And yeah, things took off from there. So this year will be 5 years we're returning to that show. And yeah, a lot has happened since then.
And one of the things that has recently happened is your manufacturing facility in Saskatoon.
Yes, so we just celebrated the grand opening on June 1st of DFP manufacturing. So now we'll be making our own products right here in Saskatoon, and then also serving the public with additional products or services to them as well.
Prior to that facility, what were you doing?
We were manufacturing in Edmonton, Alberta. We had the first manufacturing was done in the United States. And then in 2019, we brought our molds to Canada, wanting to just have the work closer to home. We found someone we could work with here in the prairies. And so we were working with a couple different manufacturers in the prairies, and just being able to keep up with capacity, ended up focusing everything on the Edmonton manufacturer until this year.
The name Duckfoot, when you hear it, you kind of wonder where it came from. But once you see the product, it becomes quite clear.
Yeah, that's right. It was a name that we questioned back and forth for sure, whether we wanted to use it or not. But, you know, it's been definitely when people hear the word Duckfoot, they know generally who it is.
Tell us about the marketing of the product. You started off mainly in Western Canada. Where have you gone to since?
Yeah, we actually have been to a lot of trade shows. So we do a lot of the, you know, the larger trade shows in Canada and the United States. And in 2019, we also did a field days in Australia. So we're selling duck feed in Australia. We're also traveling around. We'll be at a large show called Agritechnica in Germany this year. And I think that's all for where we've done trade shows. That's the, you know, a big part of our marketing is attending those farm shows.
Here in Saskatchewan, of course, lentils, straight-cut canola, peas, and even beans are the big crops. But when you go to other countries and markets, I see soybeans are big. How is it different harvesting, let's say, a crop like lentils versus soybeans? And how does your product help with the soybean harvest?
Yeah, soybeans are a big market in the U.S. and Brazil and Argentina for us. They're the world leaders in production of those crops. And with our product, with the Duckfoot on their headers and all the testing that I've done for header loss and increased efficiencies of how it feeds the combine, we've found on the average savings is a bushel an acre with header loss. So at today's prices, you know, it's $14 to $16 an acre savings. Plus the increased ground speed is on average about 25%. Significant savings for farmers.
How is the product different for the various crops? Is it different for lentils than soybeans, or do you have to make adjustments to how the product is shaped or how it's used, or what's the difference?
they all go on the same. We have applied right over the existing tine, so you're not removing or replacing existing tine. And then we have a clip that goes on over top to further secure it. A 40-foot header takes about 30 minutes to install them on every second tine. That's the way they're sold. And the only settings, we have three recommendations: the real pitch, the real height, and the real speed. The real pitch is probably the most important one. For certain crops, we run a lot less aggressive than factory settings. So we're a lot more gentle on the crops. You know, we're running higher up out of the crops and a lot slower real speed. So that's how we're eliminating the losses at the cutter bar. And then when you get into your crops, like, you know, your canola crops and your wheat and barleys, it's just a matter of changing that real pitch. And, you know, the real speed kind of stays the same. You just walk it with the ground. So it's just sometimes if you get into a little lighter crop, like a shorter one, like lentils, you might run a little bit more aggressive real pitch. And then you get into your crops like canola, heavy wheat, heavy barley crops, you know, you're going to back that real pitch to the least aggressive setting. So, you know, you're getting that nice, even, steady flow. And, you know, we've done some testing over in Germany and, you know, running in some 180 bushel wheat crops. And in those types of crops, and most wheat crops, even in North America, you know, we're gaining that ground speed. And it's, you know, running around that on average is a 25% ground speed increase. So it's significant in today's market and the cost to run a machine.
What's the type of durability? How long does the product last?
Yeah, it's very durable. We use one of the highest quality resins that are out there. It's all purchased out of the U.S. And then, of course, everything's made up here. So we have had one on one of our original test guys, demo guys. He's a 5,500-acre farmer with one machine. And we pulled one of the duck feet off after 6 years. So, you know, roughly over 33,000 acres on it. And it showed minimal to no wear. The only time you usually have to replace them is if you, you know, end up pushing a big dirt lump. If you're, you know, doing some lentils or soybeans, or it's common there. And if you hit something hard, the clip is what generally breaks. It's kind of our shear pin, so you're not hurting anything on your header, and they'll fall off, and sometimes you can pick them up, and sometimes they'll go through the machine, and they don't hurt nothing, though, because it's just plastic. So that's the only time you ever have to generally replace any.
When it comes to the product that you use to make the raw product, I know quite a few manufacturers have had issues with the supply chain since COVID. Where do you get your raw product from, and have you had any challenges in that regard?
We get all our product out of the U.S., so it's not too bad. It is a specialty resin, so it's just not one that they have sitting on the shelf. So when we order, we do have to go ahead. Prior to COVID, you know, it was 4 to 6 weeks we could have our resin. COVID hit, we were 6 to 8 months. And then now we're back to about 8 weeks again. So it's still, you know, you still have to do projections you know, a couple months at least.
Where do you see things going from here? We're at the 5-year mark. I know companies usually do their 5 and 10 year plans. What do you foresee for the next, let's say, 5 years?
We're definitely, you know, working at expanding internationally and just, I think, getting closer to the product, having it in more dealers across Canada and the United States. We've got a really great dealer network in Canada so far, and we're working to build, you know, something similar in the United States. And then, of course, you know, the international expansion as well. We do have people reaching out to us from other countries, really interested to see if they can get the product and use it there. So I think that is a big part of our, you know, the next 5 years. And then also having started our own manufacturing, that as well was a big goal of ours. So now we're just starting on that front as well.